Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're going to continue our romp through Romans. Israel's remnant, jealous of Gentiles, Gentiles grafted in, mystery of Israel's salvation, and a living sacrifice. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
I believe that it's going to be Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit that will finally heal this racial divide in our lives, in our city, and in the world.
Religion has always offered a check on state power. That's why totalitarian movements have always hated churches, because they can't control their messages.
What God the Holy Spirit gave on the day of Pentecost is not somebody to be able to say, should have bought a Hyundai, could have bought a Kia. You know, that's not tongues. That's a string of nonsensical syllable salad.
Dying man's consolation is nothing in himself, but everything in Jesus. Jesus has won the victory over death. Jesus forgives sins.
Homeschooling moms listen to Issues Etc. while doing the laundry.
We hear that phrase, the power of the imagination. Sometimes it's a phrase that's intended to point us towards human creativity. That is, we can imagine something that drives us forward to entrepreneurial heights or to new discoveries, or just to be creative in the sense of making a piece of art or writing a novel. The imagination is a powerful thing in that sense, certainly. Does it have a spiritual power? Does it have the power to create your future, actually put your future in place and create future circumstances? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to be talking about Terry Savelle Foy's claim that the Bible teaches us to use our imagination to create our ideal future. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got 4 soundbites, one on fatherlessness and the future of society, one on a biblical view of race, a third on transgenderism and medical judgment, and a final soundbite on Christian complaint, is it whining? We'll be playing those soundbites for you in about a half hour. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet at issuesetc or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity to talk about Terry Savelle Foy's claim about our imagination having the power to create our future, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Does the Bible teach that my imagination has power?
Not in the sense that we're going to hear Terry Savelle Foy talk about. We'll note that we do have an imagination. Our minds are capable of higher level thinking. We're capable of plotting things out, of planning things. But what we have to recognize is that all of our faculties, including our imagination, I'm not even sure where to put that except for in the category of the mind, that every aspect of us, because of sin, is corrupted by sin. You can kind of think of sin like malware that is, you know, that has taken over our system. So we are impacted by sin in our bodies, in our minds, and in our spirit. And as a result of it, it's a powerful tool to use our imagination. We can use it for good or we can use it for evil. Psalm 36:1-4 says, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and to do good, and he plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. So you can say that this is a text that is descriptive of how in our fallen state we can use our minds to, you know, imagine, if you would, good or evil. And in this case, because of sin, we can imagine evil and kind of work out the steps towards how to achieve it. But what Terry Savelle Foy we're going to hear talk about in these sound bites is a spiritual power to create an ideal future. It's the power of visualization. And I'm hard-pressed, as we'll listen to these sound bites, to see a difference between what it is that she is teaching and the New Age practice known as creative visualization. It really seems like that these are the exact same doctrine, except for New Agers do not try to put a Christian veneer on it. But so that's the long answer to your question, Todd.
What is Terry Savelle Foy's word faith pedigree, if you will?
She is the daughter of Jerry Savelle, and Jerry Savelle is one of the top Word of Faith luminaries. He's very, very good friends with Kenneth Copeland, and the two of them are pretty much of the same generation of Word of Faith televangelists, and Jerry Savelle is very, very well known. Terry, for a long time, was his ghostwriter, so she worked behind the scenes writing his books. And so she, let's just say that when it comes to the Word of Faith movement, she's a royalty. She's comes from a royal family. That's a good way to put it.
What are we going to hear first from her?
So we're going to set this up by having her explain to us what she believes is an important idea, a concept, talking about the power of visualization. And for time's sake, we weren't able to include the entire introduction. But we'll note that she makes reference to a fellow by the name of Jason Kennedy, who I think works on Entertainment Tonight or E! News or something like that, and how he used this visualization technique to go, you know, from being a child to actually being an anchorman and having his dream job. And so she'll make reference to him and then talk about the power of visualization.
I'm Terry Savelle Foy, your cheerleader of dreams. What can we learn from the real anchorman, Jason Kennedy? What did he do? He used his imagination to create his ideal future. He took it a step further and surrounded himself with visuals of what he dreamed of. He spoke as if it would one day, you know, be his future, an anchorman, and he became what he believed. Well, everything I just pointed out from his story are principles in God's word to achieve success. Every successful person practices a secret that's caused them to live their dreams. What is it? The art of visualizing their future. So what is visualization? It's simply seeing the invisible, or you could say seeing with the eye of faith. You know, it's your ability to see what other people can't see concerning your future. And I'm convinced that you cannot just arrive at success without seeing something beforehand. So with visualization, success coaches say that the sharper the images are, and the more intense you feel, the more likely you are to create that desired result. Well, I've discovered that's exactly what you and I must do if we want to achieve our dreams. You know, I remember the first time that I started practicing visualization stuff and just, you know, seeing with the eye of faith. I imagined myself walking into a bookstore and seeing my books on the shelf. So I put a photo of me at a bookstore on my vision board. I remember literally imagining meeting John Maxwell and speaking at events with him. I even made a fake photo of me and him, and I put it on my vision board. I remember when I gained some weight after I turned 40, and I hated the way I looked. So what did I do? Got an image of what I did want to look like, and I put it in my vision book because I didn't want anybody to see it on my board. And after practicing what I'm sharing with you today, plus the 7-step checklist for success, I'll explain later, it's your free download, everything I visualized happened. Here I am walking into a bookstore, actually seeing my books on the shelf. Do you know how incredible it felt to see what I had visualized actually happening? Here I am speaking at events with John Maxwell. And then here I am reaching my fitness goals in my bikini. I'm just kidding. I would never post that. I did reach my fitness goals.
Okay, Chris, you said that this is indistinguishable from a New Age practice. Explain a little bit more.
Yeah. So in the New Age, you know, they believe in the ability for you to use your imagination. It's called creative visualization for the purpose of achieving and creating success and your future. It's almost the identical doctrine. But the thing is that they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God or the Trinity. You know, they believe in the spiritual realm and things like this. And a great example of this is the book that was popular back a few years called The Secret. You know, and what's the secret? Well, the secret is what's called the law of attraction, what you think about, what you speak, what you obsess about. What happens is that you can attract your future through your thoughts, through your creative visualization and things like this. This is the same doctrine. It's got a Christian veneer and a very thin one at that. And you'll note here that as we get into how she would recommend using this, she talks about an ideal future, how you know, print the biblical principles to achieving success, the ability to see the invisible. And off the top of your head, if I were to ask you, Todd, did Jesus have a vision board, or Paul, or Peter, or maybe Moses? You know, already we're at a loss here when it comes to nobody that we know of who's a biblical author used vision boards of visualization to achieve success. And you'll note that one of the things that's missing in Scripture is a clear message telling us that really Christianity is all about us achieving success. So instead, what we have in Scripture when we talk about an ideal future, the ideal future that is given to us in Scripture has nothing to do with our imagination. We don't cause it to happen. It's given for us like in Revelation 21. This is an example. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And then God goes on to say, behold, I am making all things new. The ideal future that Scripture placards for us, not only in the New Testament, also in the Old, in the passages of Isaiah, we see this. It's the new earth. It's the restored relationship between God and man. And now, in a new earth, in an eternal world where there is no pain, suffering, curse, death, or anything like that, that's the ideal world that's pictured for us. And in the meantime, the reason why we suffer the way we do, and it could be health-wise, financially, all the different ways in which we struggle in this life, all of these are the consequences of our sin and rebellion against God, which will not be taken away until Christ returns or we die.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Terry Savelle Foy's claim that the Bible teaches us to use our imagination to create our ideal future. If you're a fan of Issues Etc., be sure to subscribe to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. Find out more at cph.org/witness, cph.org/witness. We'll hear more from Terry Savelle Foy and her steps to success with Pastor Chris Roseborough next.
Just my imagination running away with me.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're going to continue our romp through Romans. Israel's remnant, jealous of Gentiles, Gentiles grafted in, mystery of Israel's salvation, and a living sacrifice. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We're commanded to serve our families and our communities to the best of our abilities. And, you know, we should take our vocational responsibilities in these areas very seriously. And I think that involves making sure that we create conditions in America that continue to allow religious freedom and allow our Lutheran faith to continue to thrive, and that we can continue to evangelize.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation with his wife Molly at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The fact of the matter is that on those particular issues of religious liberty and preserving our faith from the onslaught of bad cultural and political ideas, things have never been more dire, and it's more important than ever.
You can watch journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at the 2020 virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Terry Savelle Foy's claim about the power of your imagination to create your ideal future. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So, Chris, what's next from Terry Savelle Foy?
All right. So the next two sound bites, they're kind of one unit, but I've chopped it up into two pieces. And we're going to pay attention to how she abuses, misuses, and misquotes Scripture. It's actually quite breathtaking. We're going to hear her quote over the next two sound bites at least five different passages of Scripture. And I'm not making this up when I say this. Not one of the texts of Scripture says or means the things that she says that they say and mean. It's actually breathtakingly evil the way she handles God's word here. So we're gonna hear her in the first soundbite talking about, again, creating our ideal future, and talking about the principle of you become what you behold, and the law of what you look at you become. We'll have her lay this out.
So I wanted to break this apart in three steps I wish I'd known sooner. So number one, visualize your ideal future. Now, my question for you is, what do you see? Do you just see reality, a pile of debt, marriage problems, an overweight body, bills, a failing career, hopelessness, unfulfilled dreams, anything? You know, from the Word of God, we can see a powerful principle that says you become what you behold. Now, to behold something doesn't mean to just glance at it every once in a while. It means a constant, immovable, and firm gaze to look at consistently and constantly. Number two, find visuals, images, or even objects like Jason Kennedy did with the nameplate of where you want your life to go. You know, just as Jason had the plaque made, what could you create? Is it a business card with your name on it? Maybe even a fake degree hanging on the wall that says bachelor's degree, or a book cover with your photo on it. What you constantly look at, you become. That's the law of vision. You know, Joshua 1:8 tells us to behold the word of God. Do not let the word depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Why? Because what you behold, you become. So you need to see images of what your life can look like. Stop looking at reality and thinking this is as good as it gets. No, you have to see something before you can have something. So make your own dream book or vision board, or hang pictures up of your financial future, your ideal physical body, your dream vacation, your debt paid in full, your marriage restored, your kids serving God, your business flourishing. You know, Jeremiah 1:11 says, the Lord said to Jeremiah, he said, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see a branch or shoot of an almond tree, you know, blossoming in late winter. Then the Lord said to him again, you've seen well. He said, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Then it says the word of the Lord came to him again and said, what do you see? Now, what if Jeremiah had said, nothing? What is God asking you today? What do you see? You got to see something before you can have something.
So, Chris, she cited several Bible passages, one from Joshua, one from Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Go through them if you would. And she was saying that it essentially supported her notion of vision boards and visualization.
Yeah, it's stunning when you actually look at the text. Now, on my program, one of the rules we use for sound biblical exegesis, it's the three rules. They are context, context, and context. So, like, for instance, Joshua 1:8, that was one of the texts that she references. And you'll note that what happens in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, is that it's the death of Moses. And God is telling Joshua, he's now in command. And so it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, Yahweh said, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, my assistant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. So this is the context. God's talking to and commissioning Joshua. And then he says in verse 8, this book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And so you'll note that the word of the Lord, you know, she says the word of the Lord is not supposed to depart from you, that this word of the Lord is referring to the written word of God. That was the extent of the Bible up, you know, as far as it's written, what had been written up to this point, and God is pointing Joshua to the Bible and saying that this needs to be meditated on, to be careful to do all that is written in it. And yet Terry Savelle Foy, I mean, she just obliterated the text and somehow turns it into a proof text for you become what you behold, or, you know, and you got to look at the word of the Lord. And she's not talking about the Bible. She's talking about some vision that God's supposed to give you. And you'll note then the assumption in her teaching is that these visions that you have, that they are prophetic, that they have their origin in God. And then Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11, God gives a vision to Jeremiah right after he commissions him as a prophet. It says in Jeremiah 1:11, and the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And she just ignores the fact that what Jeremiah was recording here was an actual prophetic vision that God caused him to see, and that God was conversing with him. In fact, you can make a case based upon the way Jeremiah is describing things here that the Dabar, the word of the Lord, is actually referring to Jesus. This is a reference to Christ, who is the Logos to Theo. He's the word of God. And so she's just ignoring all of that. She's just ripping these things out of context to make it seem like, so the solution to your problem is you've got to make a vision board. Now, I'm going to back up here, and you'll note that some of the things she talked about, you know, financial distress and things like this, Christ taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So you'll note that this whole exercise, this whole practice that she's giving to people, in no way is she encouraging them to get on their knees and to pray daily, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. She's not teaching us to ask for the things that we need for this life from God. She's telling us to use our visualization and imagination for the purpose of attaining these things and being successful in this life. In fact, circumventing any need for God whatsoever. It's kind of demonic. This is like a catechism into narcissism.
What's the final cut you have from Terry Savelle Foy?
Okay, so you'll note she already asked the question, what is God asking you today? Well, that was the end here. So she's going to continue on and develop out this idea of we become what we believe, and we'll let her kind of spell that out for us.
Now, most of the world's highest achievers do this. They visualize their dreams. They have dream walls, dream boards, dream books, and they're very specific about their dreams and goals and what they want to accomplish over the next 5 years and more. So have fun with this. And point number three, become what you believe. In other words, act as if you already have accomplished your dreams and goals. Now, when you do this, your spirit will go to work to make this a reality. Now, I can't help but think about Jesus being approached by two blind men in the Bible. And they asked him to heal their eyes, to give them sight. Well, instead of healing them, you know what Jesus did? He put the responsibility back on them by asking one simple question. You know what it was? Do you believe I can do this? Without hesitating, they answered, yes, Lord. The next verse says, become what you believe. And he healed them. Well, how do you express what you believe? With the words of your mouth. So you have to learn the language of success. What is that? Well, successful people declare the end from the beginning. They do what Romans 4:17 says. They speak of non-existent things as if they exist. So what I'm saying is start declaring where you want your life to go. Declare things like, I am in the best physical shape of my life. I am enjoying a debt-free life. I'm flourishing in my business. I'm the top sales earner in my company. I'm happily married and I'm free from unforgiveness. I'm successful in everything I set my hands to do. Don't let anything stop you from doing what God is nudging you to do. You know, I think so many times we only pray for those things that we actually believe are possible. Let me remind you, anything God is telling you to do is going to seem impossible. I've never had one dream look possible when God first gave it to me. All of my dreams and goals that I've written in my book or on my vision board, they look absolutely ridiculous. But the Bible says, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So remember, your mind always moves toward the dominating images you keep before your eyes. The more you look at these images of your ideal future, the more you desire them. The more you desire them, the more persistent you become in fulfilling them. Your spirit has a supernatural ability to figure out ways of achieving what it thinks about the most.
Well, Chris, she's back straight in the kind of the fast lane of word faith. It was pretty obvious there, but she sounded to me like she's encouraging idolatry.
Yeah, in fact, idolatry in the form of coveting. What she's basically telling people to do is to break both the ninth and the tenth commandments, believing that it's a virtue to do so, and that God and that your spirit has the power to create and achieve the things that your heart is coveting and lusting after. It's unbelievable when you consider the implications of what she's saying. Now, real quick, I wanted to note here that Matthew 9 is the account where Jesus heals these blind men, and she says that verse 29 says, become what you believe. That's not what the text says. It says, according to your faith, be it done to you. So she completely botches that particular text. Romans 4:17, she says, is a command. We need that successful people do Romans 4:17. But Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed. And God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Romans 4:17 is not a command for us to speak things into existence. Romans 4:17 is a description of how God speaks things into existence that do not exist. And then lastly, and I think this is the most egregious, in Matthew 19, she says, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. But that's from Matthew 9, verse 26. And the thing that's being discussed there is salvation itself. With man, this is impossible. But salvation is possible with God. And so that's what it's referring to, not to using a vision board to create an ideal future. It's breathtakingly demonic when you think about what it is that she's teaching and the implications of it and how this all depends on us. And it's not about God providing these things to us because he's our gracious, loving Father.
With about 30 seconds here, and finally, Chris, if someone follows her advice, what will be the result in their life?
I would say results may vary. You know, let's say they achieve some success. Maybe they decide they're going to put a vision board up and they're going to lose some weight. At the end of that, they've lost weight. And my point would be, big deal. Who cares? You're still a sinner in need of the grace and mercy of Christ. And it is God who is the one who provides for us. And so all you've done is become independent. And so what if you've achieved something because you put it on a vision board? Yeah, the thing you cannot achieve is your own salvation and the real ideal future, which is given as a gift, not as something that we create via our imaginations. So, at the end of the day, you're deceived as all get out because you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're pointed in the exact wrong direction.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel called Fighting for the Faith. You can learn more about Fighting for the Faith at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you, our listeners, when we come back from this break, live this Friday, June the 19th. We got a soundbite from Katie Faust, Marriage, Fatherless, and the Future of Society. One from Dr. Gerald McDermott, A Biblical View of Race. Another from Dr. Jeffrey Barrows, Transgenderism and Medical Judgment. And Pastor Hank Sinkbaugh says that Christian complaint isn't whining. We'll be right back. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension Lutheran, Niles, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Marshall, Minnesota. Hope Lutheran, Spokane Valley, Washington. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. Our Savior Lutheran, Louisville, Kentucky. Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. St. John Lutheran, New Berlin, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. And Trinity Lutheran, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.